Will the clerk please call the next case?
324-0163, Tony Picciola, individually and as special administrator of the estate of Michael Wilkie, deceased, appellee, versus Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington, appellant.
Mr. Zimmer, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Bart Zimmer. I represent the Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington, Illinois, a religious corporation under a special and limited appearance to contest jurisdiction. And the core dispute in this matter revolves around the trial court's jurisdiction over the religious corporation. And there's two main issues with that. One is the identity of the church entity and whether the religious corporation is the same entity as the previously dismissed not-for-profit corporation or NFP, or whether it's a distinct entity. Either way that this issue is resolved, the religious corporation should be dismissed from this matter. If it's the same entity, then the prior dismissal applies to it as well, since the two entities would be one and the same, or would be the same entity. If it's a different entity, then the plaintiff never named the religious corporation in the complaint, never filed a count against the religious corporation, never issued a summons against the religious corporation, and has no
service. Who did they serve summons with?
They served the agent for the not-for-profit, but the only entity named in the complaint with that was the not-for-profit. And Illinois case law is clear.
Counsel, you say the only entity named in what? In the affidavit, in the summons, or in the complaint?
In the complaint. The only count in the complaint is against the not-for-profit. The summons just says the Church of God of Wilmington, I believe, which, you know, it doesn't say not-for-profit. It doesn't say religious corporation.
That's the name of the religious corporation, though, isn't it?
The religious corporation is the Church of God of Wilmington, Illinois, a religious corporation. Although some of the bookkeeping on this is a little bit unclear. The entity was originally named as a religious corporation in 1988. In 2007, the members of the board voted to change it to Lighthouse Ministries International Church, Inc., subsequently registered as a not-for-profit with Illinois. Then in 2009, it changed its name to the Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington, Inc. And it was then registered as a not-for-profit under that name. And it's our position that the religious corporation at that point had essentially gone away. But if the religious corporation did remain around, it still would have been under presumably its initial name, with the comma Illinois.
But you represent the religious corporation.
We do represent we've been asked to represent both. We've been asked to represent the religious corporation just for the purposes of objecting to the jurisdiction in this matter. Kind of going back to the complaint and the summons, there's no dispute that there's only one count against the Church of God of Prophecy. And that count names it as a not-for-profit corporation. It's clear that the plaintiff was proceeding at the beginning of this case when they served the company or the entity against the not-for-profit. When we originally came into the case for the not-for-profit corporation to overturn a default judgment, we filed a petition to overturn that judgment, obviously. And in response to that, the plaintiff filed a verified response, which is in the record at C57. And in that verified response, the plaintiff admitted that the Church of God was a not-for-profit corporation. They were clearly going against the not-for-profit corporation. During discovery, we identified that there were potentially these two different entities, that we were appearing only for the not-for-profit at that point. Plaintiff never amended the complaint. They could have, you know, once the petition to overturn the judgment was granted and they proceeded forward with the case, they never amended their complaint to add different counts to name specifically the religious corporation.
So you referred to count four on C-25 of the record, correct? That's a single count you're talking about, First Amendment complaint.
Yes. C-25 is where the count begins, and then it's on C-26 when they name it as a not-for-profit corporation or a non-profit corporation.
That's the only time they ever mention not-for-profit in any of their pleadings, correct? Or in any of the paragraphs in that count, correct?
Yes, but they never refer to a religious corporation.
Agreed.
And Illinois, kind of going back to, you know, the complaint and the summons, Illinois law is clear. If you're going to bring counts or bring claims against separate entities, you need to bring separate counts under 735 ILCS 5/2-603. Each separate entity needs to have a separate count pleaded against it. The rules on summonses are very clear that you need to have a separate summons on each entity. And it's clear in this that there's one summons, and they continue to go forward for years of litigation against the not-for-profit. And it was only when that entity was dismissed that they said, oh, no, really, we were also all along going against the religious corporation as well. But there's just no record to support that in any way. I think if we go back kind of to the beginning of this, there's the two questions, the identity of the church entity, and then the naming of it in the complaint and the service against it. And so if we look at the first question, was the religious corporation the same corporation or the same entity as the not-for-profit? If they're the same entity, then the prior dismissal applies to both of them. So however, if we resolve that as the same entity, then they need to be dismissed and the court has no jurisdiction over them. If we look at the second issue, whether the religious corporation was ever, if they're separate entities, were they ever named in the complaint and were they ever served with a summons? And the answer to that is very clear, that the only count in this complaint was against the not-for-profit. And the plaintiff can't now go back and say, you know, really that count was against the religious corporation. It was always against the not-for-profit. The not-for-profit participated in this litigation for years. The plaintiff, in a verified response, said that the entity that they were proceeding against was a not-for-profit. They only had one count against the church. I don't see any particular way that they can now go back and claim it was really the religious corporation. It can't be both in the same count. It can't be both for the same summons. Illinois law is very clear on that. And it's not just that we can look at that, you know, that one reference to the not-for-profit on, I think it's a C-26 in the record of the complaint. It's, you know, it's their verified response. It's how they proceeded in the litigation the entire time, knowing that it was only the not-for-profit. After the petition to overturn the judgment was granted and they continued forward with the litigation at that point, they filed another amended complaint. They didn't add any counts to name the religious corporation, which had been clearly identified at that point during discovery. They never, you know, issued an additional summons against them or asked, you know, us to accept service on behalf of them. They never named them in a complaint. You know, they could have added a new count that specifically identified the religious corporation at that point. Instead, they just went forward with the same count that they always did. Then the not-for-profit was dismissed by the court, and then they filed a motion to get a default judgment against the religious corporation for never having appeared when the religious corporation had never been served at that point.
So the registered agent for the religious corporation was never served?
Not with a separate summons for the religious
Well, they
corporation.
were served with a summons, though, correct?
They were served with the summons with the complaint that named the not-for-profit. It's the same agent, so, but...
Well, you see it named the not-for-profit. It says Church of God of the Prophecy of Wilmington and unknown others, correct?
Yes. But when you go into the actual count, it says they're a nonprofit corporation. And if they wanted to, I don't even know who the unknown others refers to. I don't know if that's separate board members or anyone else. But even if they had some confusion back when they filed the original complaint, by the time the petition to overturn the judgment was granted and they entered another, you know, amended complaint after that, the issue that there were multiple entities was pretty clear, that there was this religious corporation under, you know, the Illinois Religious Corporation Act. They could have easily, you know, amended the complaint at that point, but there's never been a complaint that named the religious corporation. There's only been this single count where they identified the non-for-profit in a verified response. At one point, they said that they were going against the non-profit. I think, however we resolve this issue of, are the religious corporation and the not-for-profit the same entity? Ultimately, we have to say that, you know, the religious corporation is either dismissed already because they're the same entity, or they were never named in the complaint. There's no count against them. There's nothing in there referencing the religious corporation, and they were never served with a summons. You can't use the same count against two separate legal entities, and you can't use the same summons against two separate legal entities. And, you know, I think it's a pretty straightforward, you know, issue here where there's just no jurisdiction over the religious corporation if they truly are a separate entity.
Who's Ron Benji?
I'm sorry?
Who's Ron Benji?
Ron Benji was the registered agent for both the religious corporation and the nonprofit.
Is he a professional registered agent?
I don't believe so. I believe he was just a member of the church. I think the only thing he was the registered agent for. I don't want to misrepresent that, but that is my recollection.
Thank you.
I'm happy to answer any additional questions the court has, but I think I've addressed the points that I wanted to with my argument.
Any questions from the court?
I have none.
I have one. Counsel, that verified, I thought you said C-61. Am I correct about that?
C-57, Your Honor.
57. And can you tell me what paragraph that's in? If you have it at hand. Because C-57 is actually just the verified response itself. So that's the beginning of it. And I've been trying to find it here, and I haven't found the particular response you want me to look at or want us to look at. And you know what? You can come back to that when it's your time for...
I will address it in my response.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. No further questions from the court then? Thank you. You will have time in reply, Mr. Right. Zimmer. Okay. Mr. Mueller.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Matthew Mueller. I represent Tony Picciola in regards to this case. Ms. Picciola filed a wrongful death action in Will County in regards to the death of her 15-year-old son. The allegations in the complaint were that Michael Wilkie, her son, was a guest at 1800 South Water Street, which is the church property. That on December 26th, 2017, Jeff Urban was an employee of the Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington, that he lived at that property. He was the pastor, that he lived at that property with his wife and his child, Carson Urban. Carson, on December 26, 2017, heard a noise, thought it was suspicious, grabbed his dad's loaded assault rifle, ran into a darkened portion of the church, tripped over an extension cord. The gun went off.
On the appeal, Mr. Mueller, I think we're all well aware of the facts of the nature of your case.
Fair enough,
What's
Judge.
The issue on appeal is what?
The issue is whether or not the issue is whether or not the religious corporation became the not-for-profit corporation, and if it didn't, if we have proper service. And what it comes down to is if you look at the documents that are relevant to this case, you will see that what the appellant is arguing is what they wish the facts showed instead of what the actual facts show. So if you were to go to C0219, that's the document that shows the religious corporation opening up as the Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington, Illinois. In 1997, and this is document C0225, you will see that the property, 1800 South Water Street, was deeded to the religious corporation. The religious corporation in 2007, this is C0218, changed its name to Lighthouse Ministries International Church, Inc. So it is no longer the Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington, Illinois, as Mr. Zimmer has claimed. He's claiming that because he doesn't want the religious corporation and the not-for-profit corporation to have identical names and identical agents, because that's what's actually going on here. They are entirely identical, something that would never happen but for the fact that the Religious Corporation Act allows filings of documents in the Will County Recorder's office as opposed to the Secretary of State's office. So we have what we basically have here are identical corporations, identically run, identically named, running out of the same property. In C0090, we see Lighthouse Ministries Church is opened as a not-for-profit. That document is only filed with the Secretary of State. That's where you would file a not-for-profit. However, then the next document, which happened in 2008, is a change of agent. They changed the agent from Richard Lang to Ron Benji. This is C0206. And if you were to look at that document, you would see that there are two stamps on the document. One of the stamps is the Secretary of State's stamp. The other stamp is the Will County Recorder's Office stamp. So if as the appellant argues that this entity, that the religious corporation became the not-for-profit, and they said that they did that in 2007, you wouldn't have this stamp right here. You would not have to file this with the Will County Recorder's Office. What they're doing is they're doing identical things with identically named corporation. And then the document's probably the most relevant is C0202. Now, this is a change of name. This is Lighthouse Ministries International Church changing its name to the Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington. And once again, you have the Secretary of State stamp. It's filed with the Secretary of State. You also have the stamp for the Will County Recorder. So it's changing the name of the not-for-profit and changing the name of the religious corporation. And it's changing them both to Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington. I say that because it's not Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington, Illinois. There is no name difference between the religious corporation and the not-for-profit. They are the identically named agent, and have identical names. So the question is, did they become one? Well, if they became one entity, why is it being these documents in 2009 being filed with both the recorder's office and with the Secretary of State? They wouldn't be. If they were the same entity, you'd have to see some sort of document where the not-for-profit took over the religious corporation. There is no document that does that. And the Religious Corporation Act tells you how the procedures by which you have to change the religious corporation. That's 805 ILCS 110/36. That never happened. So we have two corporations run identically. This is a problem that existed for a while because in regards to other corporate, other nonprofits, because originally the Not-for-Profit Act did not allow religious corporations to incorporate on the not-for-profit. So they used the Religious Corporations Act. After the Not-for-Profit Act, I think it was in 1996, allowed religious corporations to become not-for-profits, a lot of religious corporations chose to open this up. But now they have dueling identical corporations with the exact same name. So if you look at the summons on this complaint, you will see that the entity that was served was, in fact, the Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington, not Illinois, because that's the name of the religious corporation. It's the name of both of them. You'll see the person that was served was Ron Benji, identically named person. Now, there have been several incorrect statements about the nature of the complaint, because the appellant wants this court to believe that we always served the not-for-profit. They keep saying this is against the not-for-profit. Look at the complaint. The complaint says it was a not-for-profit. The complaint says it identifies that the not-for-profit was dissolved. The complaint says that the regular and customary activities of the church continue. So they're trying to make the argument that we don't have service when we've served the exact right name and we have served the exact right registered agent. They're saying, well, that's because it was the not-for-profit. That is what they want it to be because that's the only way they win. But the problem with that is they're identical, and the complaint makes it clear that we knew at the time of the filing complaint that the not-for-profit was dissolved. We knew that the entity continued to operate, and we served the exact right name for that entity. The idea that somehow this is bad service, they're trying to utilize rules that aren't associated with this exact set of facts, because nowhere else that I know of in Illinois law is there the possibility of identically named corporations existing simultaneously. It can't happen. The Secretary of State does not allow two corporations to have identical names. Here, however, because of this one little niche in the law, we have identically named corporations. So the idea is we intended to serve the not-for-profit. It's obvious from the complaint. We intended to serve whoever was operating church services out of that building, 1800 South Water Street. And because we served the registered agent, they knew about this. So what's really going on here is the appellant is playing a sleight of hand game or a shuffle game. Well, you try to serve me here? Nope, not that one. You try to serve me here? No, not that one. When in reality, the summons is issued to the exact right entity and to the exact right person. It's valid service. They don't get out of it because they created mirror images of the corporation. And as a final point, it should be noted that the religious corporation has held this property the entire time. So the idea that the religious corporation doesn't exist doesn't fly under the circumstances in which they have held on to this property the entirety of the time. Now,
so when you say held on, do you mean were they the owners on deed? Yeah.
Yes. So starting in 1996 or something, they were deeded the property. It's C0225. The Church of God of the Prophecy of Wilmington, Illinois, was granted a warranty deed in 1997 for this property. So, I mean, just to be clear, the appellant's argument is you can't get us served because we made it tricky enough that you would need to issue summons for the exact same name to serve the exact same person. And I believe the law is fairly clear. If I serve a corporation, I don't even necessarily have to know that it is a corporation in order to be able to serve it. I just have to get the right name so that I'm putting them on notice. They can't say they didn't get put on notice. What's going on here is they want it to be the not-for-profit because that allows it to get dismissed. But religious corporations last forever. There isn't the rule associated with with not-for-profits where you have to file paperwork every year and you have to stay valid, because the not-for-profit became not valid because they didn't file their paperwork. The religious corporation of an identical name is valid because you don't have to take those steps every single year. So what they're left with is two corporations identically run, identically named. One of them was valid, and we said we were suing the people that operated out of that.
Mr. Mueller, you said it lasts forever. There is a procedure, though, that you had referred to earlier to dissolve under the RC Act.
So it's not a, it doesn't specifically mention dissolving, but it mentions any amendment to the religious corporation. And that's 805 ILCS 110/36. And that's important because if they did want to change this religious corporation into a not-for-profit, they would have to follow those procedures. We're all lawyers here. It's kind of like, I'm not allowed to go out of my office and yell, I declare bankruptcy. And now I've declared bankruptcy. You have to follow the procedure that's set in the statute. And they never followed the procedure to close down the religious corporation.
Don't you anticipate that they're going to argue that that was the very act that they made by forming a not-for-profit and then recording it in the Will County recorder's office?
So this is kind of more of intent than anything else. But if they really intended to only have a non-for-profit, they would not have filed the change of name with the Will County recorder. There is zero reason, once they've opened the not-for-profit, if they really did intend to somehow join them together into one entity, they would not have in 2009 filed this with the Will County recorder. This document, and it's C0202, shows an explicit intent to keep both of these entities open and valid. And quite frankly, it doesn't really matter if they intended to or what their intention was. They have to follow procedures. I declare bankruptcy statement. If you're going to close down a corporation, you have to follow the rules associated with closing down the corporation, as outlined by the statute. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions from the bench?
I don't have any further.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Zimmer, you may reply.
Yes, I found that reference. I had the page number wrong. The verified response starts at page 57. It's at paragraph 11 on page 59 when they admit that the Church of God of Prophecy was a not-for-profit corporation.
Thank you, counsel.
And, you know, the plaintiff just made reference to, you know, the religious corporation still holds the property and made reference to C-225, which is the warranty deed, which continues with the name, the Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington, comma, Illinois. So, I mean, this idea that it's only operates under this, you know, comma Wilmington name, I don't quite see. But the issue here is, again, if plaintiff was aware that there was a religious corporation and a not-for-profit corporation and they wanted to proceed against the dissolved not-for-profit, they filed against them, they clearly named a count against them, they said they were a not-for-profit. If there's a separate entity out there that's a religious corporation that they also want to name, even if it has the same name, a similar name, name a count against them. Make a reference to them at any point in the complaint. They never do that. The only way plaintiff can proceed forward against a religious corporation at this point is if they are separate legal entities. And the question on, you know, whether they are separate entities or not, that needs to be resolved first. And I think, you know, counsel has referenced, you know, they changed the name. The court said, well, wasn't that when they changed into the not-for-profit? I believe it was. if they didn't follow all the formalities that, and they are truly two separate corporations still, then the plaintiff needs to file a count naming the religious corporation. There is nothing in this complaint that makes any reference to a religious corporation. It doesn't say the Church of God of Prophecy was ever a religious corporation. It just refers to the not-for-profit. If they wanted to name both entities in the complaint, then they needed to name both entities in the complaint, and they needed to name them in separate counts if they're separate legal entities. If they're the same legal entity, then the religious corporation's already been dismissed. If they're different legal entities, then the religious corporation was never named in the complaint and they were never served with a summons. Even if they have the same registered agent, the only thing in here named in this complaint is the not-for-profit corporation. And the plaintiff said they were proceeding against the not-for-profit corporation in their verified response. And this could have all been resolved if they would have just named the religious corporation after the default judgment was overturned, and we could have gone forward with two separate counts against two separate entities and dealt with it that way. But instead, they only continued their complaint against the not-for-profit. The only time they made any reference to the court about the religious corporation was after the not-for-profit had already been dismissed, and then they moved for this default judgment. But there was nothing in the history of this case about the religious corporation other than us identifying it during discovery. You can't.
Counsel, the same page that you referred me to earlier, C26 to 27 paragraph of the complaint, C26.
Yeah.
That's right after your reference to the not-for-profit. They state that it was dissolved. Church of God of Prophecy of Wilmington as involuntary dissolves at the time of the incident.
Yeah.
They're aware of it.
And they got a default judgment against that entity. They didn't get a default judgment against the religious corporation at the same time. If they really thought there were two separate entities, why did they only get a default judgment against the not-for-profit?
My point is that they knew that it was dissolved
as yes.
a corporation involuntarily. Yeah.
Yes. I don't have anything to add if the court has any further questions in the limited time remaining.
Any further questions from the court or questions from the court? No. I don't believe there are, Mr. Zimmer. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmer, Mr. Mueller, for your arguments in this matter this morning. It will be taken under advisement. A written disposition will issue. The clerk of our court now will escort you out of our remote courtroom at this time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Have a nice day.
Thank you, gentlemen.